welcome to The Ordinary Knitter, the knitting podcast that's mostly about the projects. Find it on iTunes and now Acast through your podcast app, or subscribe via the feed link on the website. This week, sock progress, produce bags, yarn purchases, and a return to baby knitting. Hello and welcome to episode 61. My name is Heather. You can find me on Instagram at The Ordinary Knitter, on Twitter as at The Ord Knitter, and on Ravelry at Ordinary Knitting. This is the second episode of 2018. At this rate, I'll be releasing one pod a month. It's not intentional, it's just the force of everything else on my life has rather put knitting in its place, so, and also it's finding the time to do the pod, but I don't know what's got into me. Spring is far from sprung, but I was up and dressed by 8 o'clock this morning and it's half term, and usually I measure half term by how many lions I have left, so perhaps I've been touched by the energy fairy overnight and all of a sudden everything's going to start kicking off from here. Wouldn't that be fantastic? But just lately my knitting rate has picked up. I've not been able to use a computer quite so much, which is a good thing, and it's created more room for knitting. So I'm going to have more projects on the go, I'm going to be tangling with more thorny issues, and I hope to have a little bit more to say. As I talked about in the last episode, I cast on socks at the end of last year, the first pair I had made in over a year. I've made steady progress. I haven't set anything on fire, but bit by bit they've been getting there, and I'm now almost finished. I'm at that point now where you put them on their destination foot and go, is the cuff deep enough yet? And my husband the other night was saying, oh, that would be fine in that, if you actually fancied doing another couple of centimetres of one by one rib, I wouldn't say no. And you know what it's like with a project like that. If you do cut corners and you think, I'd be fine, he'll be fine like that, they will always be the socks that fall down slightly because the rib wasn't deep enough. So it's not worth it. So I do just have that last, probably couple of centimetres. He needs quite a long cuff, and I have learnt over the years that, I mean, I know on the face of it, it makes obvious sense that one by one rib is twice as good as two by two rib, but the difference it makes is just out of all proportion, really. So although it's a bit tedious, it has to be done. I've made these socks in Stylecraft Head Over Heels in the Eiger colourway. That's worked out well. I'm not crazy about the funny pale green element, of which there seems to be quite a lot, but overall, as part of the total colourway, it works out very pleasantly. The yarn is nice to knit with. I would certainly consider that one to use in the future. Having said that, when you knit socks for somebody, what the yarn is like to knit with is only one part of what for me is a sort of triangle of considerations. There's how it feels to knit with. Is the skein wound well? Does the yarn split? Things like that. What's it like for the wearer? Are these going to be hard wearing socks? I still, on a daily basis in the laundry, am handling socks I made my husband 3 or 4 years ago and that are being worn about once a week. And there, sometimes I do need to do a little bit of darning, but I'm impressed at how well they've worn. And the third thing, of course, is how well they wash. Now, I would never buy a sock yarn that I couldn't tumble. I live in the English countryside. Our house is a little bit damp. I can't dry things over radiators or over a rack. It either goes outside, which I do when at all possible. I was doing this yesterday in February, or it has to go in the tumble dryer. So anything that's non-tumblable is a no-no. So that's the other consideration for me. By the time these socks have been worn for a few months and they've certainly gone through the washing machine lots of times, and they've either sat on the line or been through the tumble dryer, how is the yarn bearing up? And only time will tell with that. However, despite making reasonable progress and liking the yarn, I have made a strategic error. I would usually increase, once you cast on, however many you cast on for your toe, I cast on quite a few because my husband has very wide feet and he doesn't need little pointy socks. So I cast on quite a few. I should just add, for anyone who hasn't listened much or heard me talk about socks, I knit my socks toe up, two at a time. So I might cast on 16 on each needle. I use, Judy's magic cast on. It's the one that's the figure of eight, and it means you don't have any toe seaming, basically that one. So I cast on quite a few, and then I would usually increase to 36 stitches to across the top and across the bottom, so a total of 72 stitches. But I developed that stitch count using bits and pieces from designs that intrinsically had stretch. Now, usually that would be a waffle or box construction or a rib pattern. Then I once made a totally plain pair. My husband said he wanted them plain because it was a rather beautiful purplish marl. And if you just bear with me, I will look up what yarn it was. It was Katia Ole Socks Comfort in purple. And I made those 3 years ago, exactly 3 years ago. So because they were totally plain, in order to show off the kind of speckle in this yarn, they needed to be bigger. This was to compensate for the lack of stretch. As I've just said, my husband has very wide feet, so he couldn't get away with, you know, something that was a little bit of a compromise. And this business of the stitch count, this is where my year away from sock knitting told. I knitted the pair I'm just finishing, with a rib, but with 40 stitches across the top and sole, because I had this figure of 40 in my head. I don't know where that's come from. So in itself, the fact that it's got a few extra stitches on the top and the sole, really, you know, day to day, that's not a terribly big deal. But I use a flegel heel, and this is where the issue lies. Have you ever knitted a flegel heel? Do you know if you're familiar with it? It's a short row heel for top-down socks. I absolutely love it. I don't miss picking up for the heel at all. You start increasing for the heel when what I call the fuselage of the sock reaches the ankle. So as you put the fuselage onto the foot, when it starts to meet the ankle bone and the front of the leg, that's when you start increasing for the heel. The top of the foot stays the same stitch count and you carry on with your pattern, whatever you're doing, but you begin to increase two heel stitches every other row. So it has a proper formula for your total number. The formula is to increase the heel stitches to the total number of stitches in the sock minus 2. So in this case, I had 40 on the top, 40 on the bottom, that's 80 minus 2, 78. Really, for a proper fit, thinking about it, because the rib has stretch, it should have been 36 plus 36 minus 2. Which is 70 stitches, so 8 stitches fewer. Now, this matters because you work an increase round, increasing by 2 stitches, followed by a knit round. And in this case, that adds up to 16 extra rows, which has made the sock too long. They're still wearable. I mean, it's not like they're... Oh, excuse me, I've got a frog this morning. This is so early. So they're still wearable, but there is this little, you know, you can just kind of fold this silly little flap of sock on the toe. Or, I mean, obviously what he would do is put his toes into the toe of the sock, and then the heel just comes slightly up the back of the leg. And so they're wearable, but I'm really annoyed at myself for making such a mistake. I feel I should have known better. I've made such a point of making sure that socks are big enough after some early attempts that were hard to get on, and I think that's rather blinded me to every other consideration. It's certainly backfired this time. I made a long time ago, I think it was one of my first attempts at socks on Magic Loop, and I made Molly and Hector by Nikki Miller, and this is a sort of Gansey sock. I made all sorts of mistakes. I knitted the chart upside down, and when it came to increasing for the heel, as well as doing the increase followed by a knit round, I also then did the pattern rounds followed by a plain knit round. So in all fairness, it was 5 years ago, and I've learned a lot since then, but that was a classic balls up. And they were for my husband, and he couldn't get them on because they had absolutely no stretch, and I had used an extremely uncompromisingly wool yarn from my aunt's sheep. I don't know how I actually managed to handle it, really, but there we go, I did. So ever since then, because I put so much work into them, of course, it has made me prioritise socks having stretch and being big enough. And I've been so pleased that I've arrived at this sock pattern that's all my own. It's like that broom handle where you've replaced the head and the handle a few times, but it's still the same broom. All the parts are things I've used before in other socks that other people have dreamt up, and I've just put them together. My favourite cast on, my favourite heel, doing them two at a time, toe down, blah, blah, blah. And I'd arrived at this sock pattern, which was just the right size for my husband, and I feel like I've totally blown that out of the water, and I should go back to class one of sock knitting. I'm delighted to say that we have some babies on the way in the family. Not me, I'm fractionally too old for all that, and I wouldn't want more babies even if I could have them. I love my children, but I've had enough. So we have one baby due in April, and we have one baby due in August, and both the mums are considerably younger than me and probably an awful lot more funky. But even when I was expecting my children, my daughter's going to be 16 soon and my son is 9, and even when I was first expecting babies, matinee jackets were didn't have much of an appeal really. I never put booties on my babies and, you know, little gloves and things. They just, you know, I'm sure they have their place, but I'm certainly not about to knit up any of the trad baby knitting in lovely shades of pastel pink for these two. Also, I know it shouldn't matter, and my daughter would slap me down if she heard me, but she won't. I don't know what either baby is. So just, I know that gender doesn't matter and all that rest of it, and I very much do believe that. However, I'm sufficiently old that if I knew somebody was expecting a boy, I would not be brave enough to knit in pink for them. So I've got various options. The traditional thing to give is a blanket, but that's a huge amount of work, and I'm not about to kid myself that I can whack out a blanket by April, because it's just not going to happen. Also, myself, I remember when my kids were small, blankets were just something that every single time you used them, somebody vomited on them or did something equally ghastly, and I didn't have time to appreciate the blankets that my babies were in. They were there to keep them warm in their car seat, warm in their cot, and all that mattered was you just washed and tumbled, and considering how much work goes into them, I think if I had a grandchild on the way, that would be different, because it then becomes a bit of an heirloom piece, and it also means something to the person to whom you've given it, you know, your child or your son or daughter-in-law or whatever. But these are two of my, well, one is my cousin and one is my cousin's partner, and I don't think for them the fact that I had spent months knitting a blanket, it would have said, oh, that was nice, but you know, it wouldn't have quite the same sentimental value. So what I have gone for is two more of the Baby Cocoon Sack and Cap by Bernat. I last knitted these about, oh, I was going to say 2 years ago, but it might not be quite that long. What have we got? 2016-04. Actually, it is nearly 2 years. I knitted two of these in May 2016 when there were friends' babies on the way. And they're lovely. It's no one ever gave me one of these when my babies were small, but I would so have used them. It's basically a little pod. It's like a sock without a heel that's big enough to put the baby in. And there's a little matching cap, and they're really, really sweet. It's a simple stripy pattern. You've obviously got absolutely any choice of colour you like. Last time I did my own variation, I think they actually have pearl rose here and there, and for whatever reason, at the time I chose not to do them, but this time I think I will do them. As with so many of the projects that I've made, and it was part of the reason for starting this podcast, knitting these things was a considerable learning curve for me because of stripes. Now, I did a slightly different method on each of these. One of them I took, you've got three colours basically, and you're doing, it's not very many, I don't think you're ever doing more than four or five rows of any one colour at any time, but I was taking the stripe yarn up the side. The second time I cut and wove in at the end of every row. That just, the thought of that now just does my head in. So I'm going to have a look again this time and see what makes sense. I'll do whatever the pattern recommends, to be honest. For some reason that now escapes me, I didn't knit the first hat in the round. I I struggled to imagine why now, but nonetheless, I didn't. And when it came to making it up, I had to make all the stripes match. Now, in theory, they would anyway, because that's how the piece fits together. But we all know in reality, you know, you don't always make up exactly. It doesn't always work out exactly for reasons that you can't always pin down. And I'm not going through that again. So I'll just do whatever the pattern recommends. And when I talked about knitting these in episodes 4 and 5, they were phenomenally popular. Episode 4 is still my most popular episode ever. And it's got to be, getting on for a couple of years ago now. I'm not quite sure what I make of that. I think it just says that we all love knitting for babies, really. And, you know, depending on the reception I get, I might be very happy to do more items. But from this distance, I'm not sure how they'll be received. I think one might be received, I say better, I don't think either of them will go, oh no, oh my god, oh, you've knitted me one of these. But I think one of them might just get a bit more of an enthusiastic response than the other. So obviously I have to decide what colours I'm going to knit. So I've stuck my neck out and bought some yarn. I have a horrible feeling that my yarn balance, my stash balance, is getting out of hand again. I have sold some of my stash, and don't forget, if you're, and why would you be looking for predominantly acrylic yarn? But if you were, I do have quite a lot. I'm going to turn my back on my stash cupboard, makes me feel better. And I have bought one way and another. I haven't bought lakes of yarn of any one thing, but I seem to have needed to buy it for things. And of course, as I'm now avoiding acrylic, although I have used stash for one or two pieces I'll come on to talk about, I wouldn't use acrylic stash for these. Also, you know, you want them to be something that feels nice against the baby's skin. So what I have done, again, this is what I used last time, I have bought some King Cole recycled cotton Aran. Because it just worked out really well. I love the colours. There's something about them. They just really appeal to me. It's the shades. It's the depth of the colour. It's just, I just love them. And they're ideal for this because they wash and tumble. So for the first one, as I say, due in April, I have gone for Merlot, Crocus and Cream. You have a base colour and then you have two stripe colours. So my base colour will be cream, and I've gone for these two absolutely gorgeous shades of a sort of purple, so Merlot and Crocus. Last time I accidentally knitted one in suffragette colours, which was really ideal when I was looking at it earlier in this 100 year anniversary of the start of women's suffrage in the UK. It was cream, purple and green. So the primary reason for choosing this yarn is that I love the colours and it washes well. I don't know if you recall when you had your babies, but generally you just don't want anything fussy. You know, oh, wonderful, baby cashmere and all the rest of it. Yes, fantastic. But really, do you want to be having to hand wash things? And I mean, I know I'm probably a bit less patient than many people with this stuff, but I just cannot be doing with fussy things when life is being lived at a bit of a pitch. For the baby due in August, I haven't decided on colour schemes for the pod yet. It doesn't matter, you know. I've got ages. I don't have to think about it until June. So I haven't decided. I might go for some lovely shades. They've got things like cornflower, which I remember was really beautiful. Or I might go for red. That's always a bit of a winner. Trouble is, what do you put with red if you're... I mean, red and pink can be a bit startling, actually. Could even go for a red and orange, which is a bit leery on the face of it, but can actually work quite well. So, I don't know. I'll have all the pleasure of going back and looking. I've been buying my yarn from Wool Warehouse recently. I'll go back and look at the wonderful palette of colours with the King Cole recycled cotton Aran and decide from there. For the baby that is due in August, of course, it's going to be sort of growing into that 3 to 6 month size, depending on, I mean, my son was £10.04 when he was born, so he was 3 to 6 months from the off, but if this baby is a more feasible size, it will be getting into 3 to 6 month age group in the winter. And what I may well do is knit one of the rolled edge raglan baby sweaters that I made before. This was all part of my baby knitting binge. It's a lovely sweater. It's infinitely customizable. Again, this was another learning curve because I did slightly different methods for making up on the underarms, which was quite interesting. I think I would just always mattress stitch from now on, but at the time I was still entertaining a few possibilities, wanting to try them out. So I came up with a design that I rather liked, and I'll probably do something similar. Although I put sheep on that one that I made before, but the mum of this baby who's arriving in August is a keen horse rider. She and her mum have horses, and I dare say this baby will be sitting on a horse before too long, so I may well put a horse on it instead. But I had great fun knitting that. Again, I used King Cole Recycled Aran. It's such a hit. I can't recommend it enough, actually, if you're looking for yarn for baby knitting where practicality but a good bold colour palette are your considerations. I don't really think you can go far wrong with that. Last time I knitted a few cloths, but I don't know, in the end I just, they're all right, but I wasn't really happy with them in the way I had hoped to be. And given that there's an awful lot of fiddly stuff, there's loads of seed stitch initially, and then, I don't know, I just, in the end, I found them a bit unsatisfactory, so unless my needles are feeling particularly idle, I don't think I'll bother with cloths this time. My other little project that I've been working on recently, well, I say recently, just about in the last 24 hours or 48 hours, because they're so fast, are a couple of little produce bags. And that's come about for a few reasons. My mother's birthday is always close to Mother's Day, so I have to provide or produce the goods in quantity in a short space of time, and usually I buy her something for her birthday and I make her something for Mother's Day. And I'm going to make her a hot water bottle in cashmerino, the Debbie Bliss cashmerino in a beautiful sea green colour. That's just waiting to hit the needles. I've got to get these socks finished. I think my aim is to get the socks finished this week, then get the hot water bottle cover done, and then I'm sort of ahead of the game a bit. So I bought the Debbie Bliss cashmerino for that. But the things I've been looking to make, or I wanted to make her something else. I know, a hot water bottle with a handmade cashmerino cover's not bad, but I wanted to give her something else as well. And I decided on produce bags. You can't have failed to notice all the long, long overdue talk about reducing plastic. Not just talk, action. We're taking action in our house one way or another, but this isn't the Eco Warrior podcast, so I won't go on about it. And one little thing I've been wanting to do is stop buying sets of tomatoes, apples in plastic and buy loose. But then, unless you're going to take a plastic bag from the supermarket, to put them in, you're not really sort of gaining anything. So you need produce bags. And I was having a little look on Ravelry. I didn't look further afield than Ravelry, but lots of bags, there's lots of knitting patterns. Well, I say lots, actually. I know this is something that fits better with crochet, but I'm terrified of crochet, so I want a knitting pattern. And the ones I found, they're all big bags, like you're going to the market and you're wanting to load your bag up with a ton of stuff. But what I wanted was a bag that you might use for 6 apples or 10 tomatoes or something like that. So I found one called Jackie's Goodie Bag, and she says herself this is a smaller bag. Now, she's intending it to be, I think, something that you might put a present into, but I think it's perfect for produce. The original design has a handle, but given that I'm imagining you've got this in your hand, you're grabbing it, you're sticking your apples in or your tomatoes, I don't think a handle for this purpose really helps, so I've saved myself a step there. So the plan with these is it's a yarn over pattern. Basically, it's the simplest pattern in the universe. You do 4 rows of seed stitch. It's all knitted in the round. 4 rows of seed stitch, 2 rows of knit. You do your yarn over round, a row of purl. You repeat those 9 times. You repeat that set 9 times. And then there's a nice little set of instructions that gives you a slightly decorative base to the bag. It's really, really lovely. That is Jackie's Goodie Bags. by Susan Carnegie. I've made two so far. They're so quick. I managed to make one whilst also sorting out some issue in our hen enclosure and cooking Sunday lunch. They're so fast. Because it's so easy. You don't have to refer to the pattern. You might want to refer to the pattern when it comes to doing the decorative base, but even then it's just a glance because it's so logical. You just follow it through. The first one I made... It was so easy, and you so don't need to look at the pattern, to the point where I slightly misread what I was looking at, and I slightly screwed up the decorative base. But it didn't really matter, and I was going to give it to my mum, and then my son picked it up and said, "Can I wear this as a hat?" I thought, yeah, okay. So he wore it last night and he's still wearing it. It's perfect hat size. I think when I give them, I'm going to put a little note on them saying, we are not hats. So I made a second one yesterday out of some of my stash yarn, because these are just absolutely ideal stash busters. I can't think of anything better designed to just use up odds and ends. I mean, you'd get several out of a skein. So the first one I made was with the Kirkton House Rainbow Aran. That's acrylic stash. It's a sort of blue marl. It's fine for my son. The next one I made was a sport weight, which I doubled up because it's written for an Aran pattern. Although again, because of the type of thing it is, it doesn't matter what you use. I mean, obviously what you use affects the size and the final outcome, but if you're making produce, making it for produce bags, that's just not important. So it's absolutely brilliant from that point of view. And yes, so I've used the sport weight, which I doubled up, and I've used the lilac marl yarn that I used for Hertz. You might remember I was making that, was it last year? And that's something like 85% cotton. It's actually more cotton than I thought. I was pleasantly surprised. So I've made one just out of that. And because, you know, my mum is a bit of a magpie, I've also got that yarn in silver. So what I'm going to do is make another with one strand of lilac and one strand of silver, so that when she's in the supermarket choosing her tomatoes and her apples, or she may be at the market, she can whip out her produce bags without having to sacrifice anything of style. So I think that's about me for the moment. I hope to be back sooner than a month, but you never can tell. I feel like I've got some really exciting knitting to be getting on with. I hope you have too. I've been a little bit more active on social media again recently. When it's taking you 6 weeks to knit one pair of socks, you maybe feel you don't have that much to say on social media, but I've been around and about a little bit more lately. So I hope to see you on there. You can contact me all sorts of ways, information's on the webpage. I look forward to speaking to you soon. Bye.